All right, this is going to be a heck of a start to a heck of a day. Bill's getting his headphones on.
Don't worry, Wendy. Everything's back to normal.
Jasmine does not have headphones. We need some music, so she's going to get that together.
We owe everybody listening a theme. Yes, Steve?
People took your headphones?
Yeah. Yep.
Steve, do you have your own headphones?
Not here, no.
Not here?
No.
Well, I mean, I've earbuds I use at home. No, I don't have...
I know a lot of professionals in this business have their own.
Have you ever had your own?
No.
Do you, Wendy? I would think you do, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like other people's earwax.
I do. See, that's the thing. It's about the only way to get it.
Hi, guys. It's Bill. It's Wendy.
I love you, Bertrand.
I want to share something with you, and it could very well be one of those things that everyone in the planet already knows except for me.
Okay.
You know how there's some things that you, at some point in your life, you discover, and you tell people, and everyone goes, well, yeah, everyone knows that. You don't know that? Here's how it works. I'm talking to a friend of mine, and he lives not in Joliet, but very close to Joliet. So he and his wife are having a conversation about they need some roof repairs done, and they want to do it quickly. They want to do it before it gets really, really cold.
It's a good time to do it.
Right? Yeah. So they're having a discussion about this, about who to get and you know, when it can be done and what it should cost and everything like that. A normal roofing conversation.
Mm-hmm.
A day later, both he and his wife notice that on their computers, they're getting a lot of ads for roofing places in and around Joliet. They notice it separately. He notices it at work on his computer. His wife notices it at home on her computer. So they talk about it, and then they realize that other things they've discussed, like a restaurant they tried recently, there's coupons on their computer. And they go, well, how can this be? And then he figures out that his Alexa is probably hearing conversations that they're having and somehow relaying that to your computer so that it's represented on your computer. Is that a thing everyone knows happens?
I think it's a suspicion people have, but I think Google and others say that Alexa doesn't do that. Like they might have looked up a roofing company online or something. And
he
then,
says they, that neither of them did. That this was just a preliminary conversation. Did no work at all on either of their computers to try to establish that. That it was only as deep as a conversation. But he said there's been a couple of other incidents that all of a sudden they go, wow, we were talking about taking a trip somewhere. And there's a lot of ads for that country. How did that happen?
Oh my God, Alexa is listening.
That's what I mean. But is that common knowledge that goes on, or is that just something?
It's been reported that because think about it, you can just say, "Hey Alexa," and about 1,800 people's Alexa just went off right now. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Hey, Murgatroyd. I'll just change the name.
Yeah.
And it's at the ready to, yes, what can I assist you with? So it can hear all the time just what it does with that information.
Is this a good thing or not a good thing?
But again, I want to caution you because I think the official line is that she is only activated when she hears her name Murgatroyd.
Yeah.
so that it's
Evans
not
too.
Active otherwise. So
I don't believe that.
Okay. Wendy, very influenced by Snagglepuss.
So I am, thank you. Heavens to Murgatroyd.
Yeah.
I don't believe that for this reason. If they truly, because when we're thinking of getting a new item for our home or anything, you Google search the heck out of it.
Well, I know for a fact, and I don't think anyone denies this, that when you're online and you're doing stuff like that, like I told you the first time we went to Mexico a couple years ago, I'm looking at various places in all parts of Mexico, and then every time I turned my computer on, there was something about Mexican tourism.
Right.
So,
well, and
I get that.
I was looking recently on, you know, taking a trip to Savannah, and I'm on my laptop Googling Savannah hotels, and then I go on my phone on Instagram, and there are, you know, ads for that specific hotel.
Yeah, that happened to me too.
Because, you know, Facebook, they're all communicating. Facebook and Instagram are owned by the same company. But, you know, so they all share that. Tim Cook from Apple actually talked about this in Europe yesterday and talked about how our personal information is being weaponized against us. And that's one of the topics we're going to start the Biz Lunch with today.
Interesting.
And here's the thing that is frustrating to me. Like, you Google search like crazy and you make a decision and you buy it. Like, say your friends actually got the new roof.
Right.
They're still going to get roof items and you're like, already did it.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, how come they don't know you already purchased it? If they're spying on you.
I guess you have to have that discussion in front of your Alexa device.
Hey, Murgatroyd, I got a roof.
Sorry.
We don't want Murgatroyd to hear this, but you got a roof.
All right, Richard, you have some information for us. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Wendy. Good morning, Bill. Good morning, Steve.
Richard, what do you know about this?
I always believed this, and I'm one of those people who is a little bit paranoid about it, but I accept that it happens. But I was telling your producer, think about it. If you're talking about something random, like guacamole, you guys are talking about guacamole for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then 3-4 hours later, you grab your phone and because you want to look up something on Google, and you hit the Google icon, and it opens up, and it gives you that list of options, like recent things you've looked at. Guacamole will be in there because there is a microphone. It's a microphone that listens, and it records. And it's not necessarily spying, but it's kind of masked as this, we're doing this for your convenience. You don't even have to type it in. We heard you talking about it. We figured you might be looking into it, so we got it all queued up for you for whenever you do. So, yeah, and that happens to me. I mean, for me personally, I don't have any of those assistants, you know, listening assistants in my home. I never will for that very reason. I mean, think about it. What if you're just doing some sort of nefarious behavior?
Yeah.
Not bad behavior, but it's just kind of behavior that you don't really want people to know about.
Yes, I'm
all
paying
these
attention.
Are listening, and they and it could bite you in the butt.
Sure.
It's crazy,
that's
man.
What I was talking about.
When do you get ads for butt biting?
Right. What kind of a Facebook search is this?
You know what, though? It doesn't bother me. I'm sorry. It really doesn't.
No.
I mean, that's the price you pay for having...
Wendy, it's not going to bother you until something happens where you say, wow, this is a little bit reaching. That's how things are. You know, things aren't offensive to us until something goes a little bit too far. You know, Trump says something, and then he says something, and you're all right with it. But then when he says something that you personally, that you just kind of rubs you the wrong way, then you kind of say, well, no, I don't want to have to do it.
So,
I don't think that listening in is right. I don't think that they should have this much ability to do it. But at the same time, we are buying all of these devices. And whenever you download an app on your phone, it specifically says, in order to accept this app, we're going to have access to your contacts. We're going to have access to your email. We're going to have access to all the stuff that's in your device. Do you accept? Nobody ever reads that.
Yeah, who reads that?
Well, nobody reads it.
We want to play Candy Crush.
Everybody accepts it.
Amen to that, Steve.
So what other things are you paranoid about?
That's it.
That's enough.
That's more than enough. Richard, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Have a good one. Someone just texted. We just discussed the same thing yesterday. We were talking about crock pots, and the next day my husband noticed an ad for crock pots on his web browser. We don't even have a Murgatroyd. We did have our phones on the table, but did not search anything about crock pots online, but yet it was heard.
Okay, so I think this should be a homework assignment for your listeners and for you guys. Go home and talk about, pick something, crock pots or
and see if it shows up.
Enchiladas. Just have a conversation about enchiladas and then go online and see.
See if there's some representation online.
I think it seems eerie, but I think there's always...
Someone thinks you're very naive, Steve, if you don't believe they're listening.
Okay.
I am too. This is all new to us. You know, the kids today don't think this is weird.
Of course not. But you got to admit, my friend said there were three different instances. The roofing thing was one thing. A trip was another. He goes, all of a sudden, everything we're talking about in front of our Alexa comes back online in a very short span of time. So there's got to be something to it, right? What do you know about this? We're at 312-981-7200. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Let me quickly catch you up. I was just talking about a friend of mine. He lives near Joliet. He and his wife are having a private conversation, or what they thought was a private conversation, about getting some roofing work done. And then a day later, both he and his wife are getting a lot of ads online for roofing places in and around Joliet. All he can figure out is that Alexa is listening and somehow conveying that information to the computer. Is that possible?
All right. Can I read this text and share this with you?
Yeah.
Alexa is definitely always listening because that's the only way it knows to activate when it hears its name, which is true. So
right.
It's always at the ready. So it's receptive to anything you say and then reacts when you say its name. But the fact that it's always listening means you don't know exactly what is happening to your data.
But again, if I can speak for Google, They say that it only becomes activated when she hears her name. It's like a teenager only moving when he hears pizza. You know, they're in the room. They might be taking in things, but they don't act on it. And they don't, so they're not really listening. You have to, it's as if it's a switch that turns it on. Again, I know, call me naive. I'm telling you this is what Google says.
I don't believe anyone.
A couple of years ago, my brother tells me, this is when, remember when Juul had Juul preferred cards?
Yeah.
Right? And everybody got a Juul preferred card. You weren't being preferred by anybody. All you had to do was ask, and they would give you one, but it made you feel special.
You well, you Juul also got card. Big savings.
So you got
savings.
The coupon.
Right. So my brother says, I'm not getting a Juul preferred card because then they track you. I go, who tracks you? He goes, when you're in the store, they know where you are, how long you're spending, what your route is. I go, that's ridiculous.
I don't believe
that. I tell that on the air, and a guy calls up who was one of the guys who designed that system. He goes, oh, absolutely. He goes, stores love it. It's the best thing in the world for stores. He goes, that's why everybody just doesn't save the money automatically. They give you the card so that they know when you walk in, do you go this way? Do you go this way? Do you spend time there? Are you looking at this?
I know they can keep track of what you buy, but I don't know that they're... You know what the technology would be to have GPS and all those chips?
It'd be easy.
They weren't chips. They're barcodes.
It's a barcode, essentially.
Which you scan at the end.
But there is a chip in there that was keeping track. The guy who called said he was one of the designers of it.
I think that's paranoid. Call back, Juul guy.
You know, here, I'm holding one. It's a barcode. So they'd have to
Have a Juul preferred card?
They don't even use them anymore.
This one's actually, it's no, I wouldn't have one they don't use. This is a Dominic's one.
Oh.
So
that's better.
Clean out your wallet, will you?
Oh, here's a lottery ticket from 1996.
Vote for Lyndon Johnson. I got to clean this wallet out.
Can I pick up your lunch here? Bill.
Yes.
I don't.
That doesn't track. I don't believe that.
So use your Juul preferred card. What do you have to do? You have to take it out of your wallet and you have to scan it over something, right?
Well, when you're saving money at the end, you do. But when you walk into the store, they could easily have some sensor in and out of the store that activates.
They have a super reader, a bigger reader when you walk into the store.
Yeah.
Not just in the store, but by every can of peas, so they know what aisle you're in and how long you spend.
Yeah, I don't know.
It would only have to be in the aisles. If you put it in the flooring, in the aisles, or overhead.
They didn't do that. There hasn't been construction at our Juul.
That's why they handed out the foil hats when you went into the store?
Optional foil hats.
I mean, the iPass obviously tracks you, but that's something that happened way after a Juul preferred card.
I think they happen relatively close in time. You don't think so? They did. They happened within years of each other, a couple years of each other.
All right. They don't have a Juul preferred card anymore.
Right.
So now what do you do?
I don't know.
So why would they sacrifice? If they would take data on what you bought.
Right. Definitely. Because that's why they scan it.
And then you get the coupons and things like that.
And
keep coming back.
Oh, my God. How irritating is it to get a coupon for something you just bought?
Oh, you mean at the end when they hand you more
coupons? Look at it, I go, thank you.
Well, their thing is to give you coupons for a competitive brand.
No, like, it's the same thing always buy.
Because they'd say, look, she tends to buy, you know, Cheetos, so we'll give her a coupon to bring her back here to buy more Cheetos.
I always get coupons for something that's similar but a different brand.
Where do you shop? On another planet? They follow you around?
The Dominic Steve shop's at.
Isn't the meat good there?
Yeah, the meat's fantastic.
I love the meat there.
And the Juul has a My Mix now where you punch in your phone number and you get like 10 cents off a gallon for every $100 you spend.
Yeah.
So there's no scanning. I'm punching in my number, but I have no card, so there's no way they can be tracking me.
Yeah.
They track what I buy for sure.
Well, that's all they care about. They don't care about you. They care about what you buy.
Well, I don't blame them. They're a business.
Yeah.
Steve?
Hello.
Hey, how's it going? You have some info on this?
Yeah, I installed them in some of the stores before. They were called smart trackers, something similar to that. And they put them at the front of the stores, a camera and sometimes just an antenna. What it does is it picks up the RF signal or the antenna off your cell phone, and they can track you in the store where you're going, and this way they can tell where the merchandising, if it's done properly. Some of the devices have cameras. If you look up when you first walk into the store and it looks at you and has facial recognition, it can tell if you're black, white, Hispanic, male, female, and where you go into the store and how long you spend at that attraction or that aisle. And they use that for tracking devices, and they sell that back to the retailers.
And, Steve, how do you know this?
I installed them.
Ah. I rest my case. Your Honor, I rest my case.
I don't know how the software works. I was just a technician that installed them. and then the company pre-configured all this stuff, and then we just put the the device up there and ran the wires back to the access points. And,
yeah,
that's different than your dual preferred card. This is picking up a signal from your phone.
Maybe that's the newer version of it. When did you do this? When did you install this this system?
The last one was maybe 6 months ago.
It's the newer version.
High-end shops, high-end stores.
Who cares? I don't buy that exciting of stuff.
What kind of high-end stores?
Yeah, but the retailers need to know where you're spending their time and if they're marketing the product in the right areas of the store.
Okay. Right.
Who's going there?
I'm interested now. What kind of high-end stores are you talking about?
Bonobos was one of them. Like a shoe store or something?
Those are socks,
like in River North. River North, there was some stores. And places that I can't afford to shop at.
And you're saying that they track your phone to see what sorts of shoes you're looking at and what your
race where
is?
In the store you're going, right? Isn't that right,
yeah,
Steve?
Exactly. Where you're going in the store. So, like, they pick up the signal off your cell phone, just like a tower would. So as soon as you walk in, they ping your device, get your ID number, and they can track you throughout the store. So they know how long you stood at this display for 5 minutes, and like, okay, this display is working good.
And, Steve, that way also they can chart. You know how they charge manufacturers to be on end caps? Like, they can say, here are their three highest trafficked areas in the store, so if you're going to spend money, spend them here, here, and here, and then they turn and charge you more money for that, right?
Very, very well could, but I just don't see them spending that kind of money.
But they just want the data. They don't care that it's Bill left.
No. They don't care that it's
preparation
me.
Age. Yeah.
Not for air.
No, it's just data.
And
demographics too.
Sure. Thank you, Steve.
We appreciate it. I know we're running late, but we got to talk to Henry real quick. Henry, you can build on this a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, see, they're silencing you.
I'm sorry.
Go on. What do you know about this?
So years ago, as a graduate student in Texas, there was a store called Market. They grew out of Whole Foods, and they basically had a grab and go section where they were analyzing who would buy what at what time. So to take it a step further, just 3-4 years ago, I was a director of marketing for a major grocery store here in the Chicago area, which has since gone bankrupt. Sorry. But the point of my story is I had vendors, such as that previous caller, that would offer us tracking systems that would tell me if Bill bought Preparation H or if he bought a comic book or if he bought three bottles of...
By the way, that is my shopping list, is Preparation H and comic books.
Yeah.
So from a promotional standpoint, and this is information I know from the meetings I was in.
Yes.
Every 2 weeks, we'd have to plan promotional flyers that we'd put in the newspaper, right? And say, okay, what's going to turn that car around for people to come into our grocery stores? So make a long story short, it is a fascinating science, right? Where am I going to advertise Wendy grilled salmon, salmon steaks, or am I going to advertise grilled filet mignon? That usually has such a huge impact as to where am I going to place it on my flyer, in the upper left-hand corner, at the front page, or
That's pretty interesting. That really is. Henry,
so again,
we got to run.
It could be a really long conversation.
Well, thanks, Henry. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the info. We're running super late.
I know we are.
And people are watching us like Bertrand.
Oh, I know.
All right.
We'll take a break. We'll get you some news next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I say, you say, won't you listen to me? Now it's too late.
Everybody's listening. Well, at least Alexa is. She has to be listening for you to be able to say, hey, Murgatroyd.
Right, but where do you draw the line? All right, a quick reset on this. I was talking to a friend of mine. He lives near Joliet. He and his wife are having a conversation in their kitchen near their Alexa device about getting some roofing work done. Where should we go? What should we have done? When can it be done? All of a sudden, a day later, both he and his wife on their computers and separately are getting ads for roofing places in and around Joliet.
And they insisted they didn't Google search it.
Right.
So
they insist on it.
My last effort here.
Yes, Steve.
Why? Are you dating Alexa? What's the deal?
No, but Murgatroyd looks nice.
All right.
I want you to think of Murgatroyd as a clap-on, clap-off.
Yes.
Okay, she's sitting there, but even though she's willing to listen, she doesn't listen until
the name is uttered.
Until you clap.
Right.
Right? So the light comes on when you clap. She starts listening when you mention her name. So,
but isn't it possible?
So you say she's always listening, but she's not really.
But isn't it possible that that's what we're being told, when in reality it could be going much, much deeper? It's a possibility, right?
It is a possibility in this era when people will say and believe any conspiracy theory. I mean, really, that's what kind of what we're talking about, right? It's like no one believes anything anymore.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe it is true. I don't know, but I'm just telling you what they say. And
okay.
Murgatroyd's calling you right now to ask you out. She's jealous of Alexa.
She wants to go Indian. I don't like Indian.
What is that? Yeah.
Someone, and I remember this, 312 texted, there was the subject of a court case, and I remember this a few years ago. It was a murder case. The prosecution wanted to hear the recording made by Alexa, and the defense and Google were fighting it. Not really sure how it all sorted out. But I do recall this because it does have access.
Sure.
If it wasn't at the ready, it wouldn't be able to hear its name being said.
Right.
So who knows what it's recording?
Yeah. I'm 100% in belief of that.
All right.
And I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm not either.
But the people following me are.
Hi, Shelley.
Hi. I have a story from a little bit different angle. I had I was getting up out of my bed, had really slippery socks on, and fell and broke my wrist.
Poor thing.
And it was like all twisted and bent, and I was struggling to get up off the floor, and I couldn't. And my phone was in the middle of my bed, which I was sitting next to, and so I told Siri to call my son. And it did, but I didn't know that because I'm sitting on the floor and I'm going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And that's all he could hear when his phone rang. And so he knew something had happened. And then I told Siri to text him, I broke my wrist, come right home, because he had just left for work. And by the time I finished texting him, he was walking back in the door. Because I thought, if I have to call 911, if I have to tell Siri to call 911, they're going to have to kick my door down if I can't get
right. And you were unable to put it on speakerphone, so your son was hearing you, but you weren't hearing him talk back going, Mom, Mom, are you okay?
Exactly. But I have to tell you, it was a godsend at that point in my life. And it was a really horrible broken wrist, a broken radius, dislocated ulna. I had to have surgery. And I thank Siri for getting my son home.
Yeah.
So she saved you.
Paid off.
Yeah. So sometimes it works in a good way.
That's a great point, Shelley. Thank you so much. How's the wrist doing now?
It's good. I'm going to occupational therapy and everything's working out good.
All right. Well, thanks to Siri. And your son.
Siri, send Shelley a get well card. Yeah. Covered.
Thank you for calling, Shelley. Somebody says my Alexa is going nuts now that you guys are using its name so much. So Murgatroyd.
Several people say, Wendy, that when they enter into various stores, this is coming from a bunch of different texts, they get coupons on their phone for that particular store. That's nothing new, right? That's been going on for a while. One person says when they're in a grocery store near Kohl's, she always gets an ad for Kohl's sent to her phone.
How come I never get an ad for Kohl's when I need it?
I don't know.
Why do I have to be at the Jewel to get a Kohl's coupon?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that plays out.
You know what? I don't mind. Honestly, I don't do anything that I'm hiding. I guess if you're high into crime, you wouldn't like this information.
Well, it's not just crime. I would feel like somebody was intruding if I were my friend in this case, even though they're trying to help him. He needs roofing done. He lives near Joliet. It's ads for roofing places near Joliet. I would still feel like I've kind of been intruded on, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but they're looking for a roof, so that might be good.
But all right, so if that's as far as it goes, then fine. But if something more personal happens...
Well, there was a conversation, right? There's a story where a couple's conversation was recorded and emailed to someone.
Yeah.
And that was a worry.
Yeah. That would be a legitimate worry, right?
You get the feeling somebody's watching you?
Maybe.
It's Rockwell.
Maybe. That's fine.
Just don't do anything untoward.
Too late.
What?
Why didn't you tell us this earlier?
Right. I'm sorry. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And something, I don't know if you're like this, Bill, but I've had a couple of knee replacements. I have some painkillers that I didn't use, and I just kind of throw it in a drawer. Yeah. And we also have a big opioid dilemma that's going on right now, and they kind of go hand in hand. Dr. Jonah Stulberg, general surgeon at Northwestern Memorial Hospital, is on the line with us. He's leading Northwestern Medicine's opioid reduction strategies. And how are you, Dr. Stulberg?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me.
There is a connection to opioid drugs. As I mentioned, I had knee surgery. You don't finish your pain pills. You throw it in a drawer, but that's not the place to put them. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Your
story is not unique.
Right,
you know,
I know.
215 million prescriptions were dispensed in the United States in 2016. And on average, after acute pain episodes, only 70 to 90% of those go unused.
And then what happens to them?
People have stories like yours.
And then what happens?
Unfortunately, most of them end up in patients' drawers. People just have them in their purse. They carry around. Some people keep them in their glove box. And that's really not what should happen to them. What should happen to them is that they're disposed of correctly in an opioid disposal kiosk or bin or any of these take-back centers.
And see, here's the thing. I do have, with two kids with ADHD, we've gone through different medications to try and find the perfect ones. So I have a bag of unused prescriptions, and you're not supposed to flush them down the toilet. You're not just supposed to throw them out in your garbage can. So this is where people don't know what to do with them. Help us with that.
Absolutely. So one of the things we're talking about today is that we have the DEA National Drug Takeback Day occurring this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And anyone with any medications, your opioid medications, leftover medications from ADHD or high cholesterol pills, it doesn't matter. We take back those drugs, and that is at locations all across the country and at every Northwestern hospital that's coming up Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you can't make that particular location, the DEA has a DEADiversion.org website. You can go on and see what locations do have drug disposal kiosks available. They are now in more and more pharmacies, and they're also at Northwestern hospitals.
Okay, and Northwestern, if you're not nearby, you can find out more at nm.org, correct? That would be your website.
That is correct. Yep.
And if you're not near Northwestern, I believe it's deatakeback.com. Is that the other website to go to find a location near you?
That works as well. If you just type into any browser DEA diversion or DEA drug takeback, you'll get to the right location. It should be pretty easy to find.
Dr. Stulberg, just for a second, the way people used to dispense of them, and even though we know now this is incorrect, is a lot of times, as Wendy said, they would flush them down a toilet or down a drain, but then you have those drugs getting into the water supply, and that's not good, right?
That's correct. So the FDA really does recommend that they are incinerated, which is what happens when the medications are returned to drug disposal kiosks. They now have drug return envelopes that you can use at home or, as I said, any other regular kiosks. But we don't want them ending up in our water supply, and we don't want them ending them up in just our standard trash.
Also, after I had knee surgery, I had to inject myself, I don't even remember what it was, if it was a vitamin or something, for 14 days. I know diabetics use insulin. Will this day, is this where you can return, use syringes as well?
Unfortunately, no. This is focused on drugs themselves and pills, and we cannot take back sharps or liquids.
All right, good to know.
When is Syringe Saturday? Is
yeah,
that
I don't know
up
what to do
soon?
With those. They're sitting in a bag on my dresser right now.
You know, there are more and more locations that also have safe syringe disposals within their bathrooms. You'll find them in places like the airport. You'll also find them in many hospitals. But you do have to find a safe syringe disposal that looks like a one-way container so that people can't get stuck with the syringes.
All right.
You can't just drop them off at a random hospital or clinic, can you? They wouldn't accept them, would they?
No, you can't. They have to have specialized programs to be able to take them back. As you can imagine, those can cause harm to the healthcare workers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, they're under restriction.
All right, well, I have a bag of prescription meds. I finally have learned to take them out of a medicine cabinet. We had a medicine drawer for a while. And, you know, there have been studies proven that a lot of times we worry about our kids raiding the liquor cabinet, but a lot of times they're raiding the medicine cabinet.
You are absolutely right. That concept is called diversion, and actually studies now show that the majority of non-medical users of prescription drugs get their medications through diversion. And all that means is that they're getting them from other people's medicine cabinets, they're borrowing them from friends. There's this horrible trend right now of something called Skittles parties, where folks, kids raid their parents' medicine cabinet, and then they pour all the drugs into a bowl and they try whatever, and we've seen a spike in fatalities due to that practice. So really having your medications, especially the dangerous medications, appropriately stored in a locked cabinet, in a locked area, and with child safe protection so that young kids can't get into them accidentally is very important.
Dr. Stolberg, I know that some people will use a drug of some sort, say a painkiller, and then they don't need it anymore, and they'll keep it on a shelf saying, well, I don't need it anymore now, but at some point I may need it again.
That's why I kept it.
But a lot of people are like that, but there's a shelf life to most of these drugs. They become ineffective after a while, don't they?
Yeah, that's correct. All medications do have a shelf life. It'll be printed on the medication itself. You know, and the problem that you're bringing up actually has two components. One is that the medication will eventually expire. It won't be as effective. But the second is that certain medications are what we call scheduled medications. We know that they're at increased risk. Opioids are within that class. They're Schedule 2, meaning the highest schedule that you can have and still get a prescription. So they're only really meant to be under a physician's guidance. Taking too many opioids can stop your breathing. People die, and that's how people overdose. And some of those deaths are accidental. And so this isn't a medication that we really ever recommend you're kind of taking on your own, say you get back pain a couple weeks later. They really should be taken with caution and under the guidance of a physician.
And I'll tell you, after having knee surgery, my surgeon gave you like two refills, and you had to call, and they were they questioned it, because it's like, you should be off of these by now.
Right.
So I've noticed now, between one surgery 12 years ago and one year ago, they don't just freely give you pain pills anymore. Are more doctors onto this?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, as we are learning more about our practices and the effect of our practices on our patients, but not only our patients, our community, we've started to become smarter with the way in which we manage pain. For a long time, we overprescribed. We gave more pills than were really needed, and we're trying very hard now to try and figure out what is the right number of pills. How can we do a better job of managing the pain, not only with opioids, but with other medications? And that's part of what I'm doing research in, and it's part of what I go around the country talking about and trying to help physicians better manage pain without the reliance on opioids.
Dr. Jonas Stolberg is a general surgeon at Northwestern Memorial Hospital, and you're also instrumental in leading Northwestern's medicine's opioid reduction strategies. We need to talk about opioid addictions more frequently. Just in the recent Roseanne spinoff, The Conners, that was addressed. We have to talk about it and not be ashamed if a loved one is addicted. We need to get them help. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I would 100% agree with it. Yes. We need to talk about it. We need to make it part of our regular conversation. We need to be open about those who struggle, and we need to be conscious that some people may be struggling silently. I may not even be apparent to us in the beginning. And so we have to be aware that that's possible and be cognizant.
If you have prescription drugs that need to be disposed of, the website, again, is deatakeback.com. It'll tell you exactly what to do and how to do it. Dr. Stolberg, we really appreciate it. Thanks so much for helping us out today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you said you had some painkillers that were prescribed to you after your...
After the tennis injury on my leg. And they even said, when you're done with these, you must dispose of them. Don't keep them around. They were adamant about that. They're highly addictive. They say that, you know, there's people who go on for a similar instance and then they're on them for years. I didn't want to be one of those people.
Yeah.
I took one and I was done with them. You know, I
they
couldn't do it.
They make me sick to my stomach anyway.
Yeah. Everyone
Sometimes
reacts.
Ibuprofen or Tylenol That's is the plenty. Best route to go.
Yeah.
All right. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're going to take a quick break. We have a lot more show coming up today, including talking to Dean Richards. Bertrand might want to talk a little about A Star Is Born because
he saw it yesterday.
Yeah, he made a point to tell us he saw it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he wowed? I don't know. We'll find out. It's 720 WGN. Also, news stories that matter with Steve Bertrand. That's all coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. I have follow-ups, Wendy, to a couple of stories that you and I talked about during our bonus hour, during our stream. So what I'll do is I'll just quickly get everybody up to date on what we discussed yesterday, and I'll tell you what the update is. Yesterday, during the bonus hour of the stream, we told you the story about a six-year-old boy, a little kid, this adorable little kid out in Arizona.
Pretty cute.
Who was having a birthday party, a sixth birthday party. And he and his mom invited a bunch of classmates, I think 23 classmates invited to the birthday party.
How many of those 23 showed up, Bill?
That would be zero. Not a single child from this kid's class, his friends, quote-unquote friends, showed up to his birthday party. The kid, of course, had all the wind knocked out of him. There was a picture of him. I showed you this picture yesterday. It's the saddest thing you'll ever see. It's this little kid in front of a table at a pizza place in Arizona with all these place settings, and nobody's there. It's just the kid looking very, very sad.
And he got a lot of free things from it, and I'm thinking the mom did this intentionally.
Well, she now today is saying that they don't want all the attention that they're getting.
Then why did you put it on social media?
That's a very good question.
And call a news station.
She did do that as well. Syl Mazzani is the lady's name. That's the mom's name. Says she was shocked and upset when she snapped a photograph of her son, Teddy, sitting all alone at a big pizza party for his sixth birthday and then posted it on her Facebook page. The photo has gone viral, but Mazzani now says she regrets posting the heartbreaking picture. It is a heartbreaking picture.
It is. The kid's adorable.
Yeah, it's adorable.
Although I want to know who ate some of the pizza. It would have been a better photo op if the pizza was untouched.
100% yep. Left alone. Yeah. Mazzani told the New York Post that she was in disbelief when, about an hour into the party at the Peter Piper Pizza.
Say that Tucson, three times.
Peter Piper Pizza three times in Arizona. Not a single one of the 20-something classmates that Teddy invited showed up, even though 15 had RSVP'd with a yes. Now, we didn't know that yesterday because we said a percentage of them must have said, I'm coming to your party, but 15 out of the 23 said, absolutely, I will be there. Surprised they didn't show up.
Well, that's rude.
That's beyond rude. So we talked about this yesterday. I pin this more, I think you were in agreement, that's more on the kids' parents than the kids.
Should, if you respond yes, you go.
Right, right.
If you don't want to go, then say up front, say I'm sorry, go. We're going to grandma's. Make some excuse.
Right. We have another fake thing to be at.
Right.
Say that next time. We got a fake news guy. We got to be somewhere. I can't. I was kind of shocked, and then at the end, when I had to pay for it, I was upset, Mazzani told the Post. That's why I wrote a message, but I never expected any of this, for this to go so viral, says the mom. The kindergartner got over the situation pretty quickly. Did he, though? Isn't this the kind of thing? He will now be known as the kid with the party that nobody showed up to.
But he got so much free stuff. Like I said, if he's over it by now, perhaps this was staged. I wonder if it's even his birthday.
I don't think it was staged. I can't imagine. And for people who don't know, the free stuff we're referring to is he got some sports tickets. The Phoenix Suns sent he and his family some tickets to go see a game. There's an arena football team or an indoor football team called the Phoenix Rising. I hadn't heard of them until yesterday. Love the name. They also sent him some tickets.
And the Diary of a Wimpy Kid author, I can't think of his...
That was a different kid.
That was another kid.
I was kind of shocked, and then in the end, I had to pay for it, said the mom. I told you that. The kindergarten got over the situation. Oh, yeah. For starters, the boy's father, Ted Bollinger, had traveled all the way from his job in an Alaska oil field to attend this party.
Well, he showed up.
He did. He did. But he would have come, I think he would have probably come home for this anyway, wouldn't he? He didn't just come home because they were having a big pizza party. It was his son's birthday.
Can't get good pizza in Alaska.
In Alaska?
But you can't see Russia.
Right. You can't. He said he's six. This is the dad. He's six, so he was distracted by the arcade games and the pizza. He got over it quick, though. He's tough. I think that's just a. I think that's an act.
Yeah, I think the whole thing is an act, Bill.
No.
You, I
explain how in the world a parent could say to their kid, "We're going to stage a fake birthday party for you just so you can get possibly Phoenix Suns tickets." That's impossible.
How is that impossible? Do you know people around here these days?
Would you do that to your kids?
I wouldn't. You wouldn't.
Nobody. A mom wouldn't do that.
Hey, Maury Povich can find people to be on his show every day, okay? There are different types of people out there.
The dad said he discouraged Mizani, that's the mom, from sharing the photograph, the sad photograph of Teddy all by himself at this table.
Poor Teddy.
When Syl told me that she was posting the photo, I told her not to do it. But she did it, and it took off pretty quickly, he said.
And she's surprised. Yet, what do things do when you post them on the internet?
They spread like wildfire.
Good or bad.
Right. Right. Well, she had, yeah.
And she called a news station. You keep failing to admit that.
That's key to this story. She called a local news station. And then...
Will you do a feature on my son? No one showed up to his party.
My friendless son. Please, open the news with that, please.
This is something you keep under wraps because you don't want people to know that your son has no friends.
Right.
Unless you want to get free stuff.
No, that's impossible. Mizani even posted a video on her Facebook of news reporters showing up at the party with cameras. I just honestly thought that this would be local news in Tucson and maybe Phoenix, but we're getting calls from all around the world, Bollinger said. It's nothing like I would have guessed, never in my wildest dreams. Well, because that's a story that is, it has some international interest. Even though it just happened to this kid in Arizona, nobody in the world wants to think that you could have a party for your child, invite 32 kids, and have none of them show up. 23 kids, I'm sorry.
And that's their spouses. Just horrible. And their spouses, they get married young.
In Arizona, they do, yeah. Mizani says she wishes she had never shared the picture. She says, honestly, I would love to go back in time and not have sent that message. We don't want all the attention. We didn't do this for attention. See, Wendy, she said she didn't do it for attention. Or for gifts or anything. I told you this yesterday. I don't know this kid, but I wanted to reach out and do something for him. I wanted to say, what can I do to make this right? I felt so bad. You just see it in the kid's face. He's been abandoned by every one of his classmates. Not one kid. Even if one kid showed up. One.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad for him.
Ugh. This is horrible.
But according to the news stories we read yesterday, the mom, in fact, was the one who called a reporter at a station because somebody said the restaurant called.
No, the mom did. She said she did it. She did it. But she says, I thought it would just be local news, but it's the biggest story
news,
in the world.
I mean, why do you want that to be news?
Yeah.
And if the restaurant called, then, you know, they should have cut her bill in half or something.
Because they're getting publicity.
Yeah.
Right.
Although I don't remember the name of the
place. You're having a birthday party and anywhere from 0 to 23 kids are showing up. We've got an adjustable banquet room just waiting for you. This is so sad.
In the number of 0 to what?
Right.
Oh, my God.
All right. we'll take a little break. We've got more stuff to discuss with you. If you want to jump in, we're easy to reach. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there. I have a Mike Pillow read on a week from Friday.
Permaseal coming up. All right, you're talking about this poor little...
Teddy.
By the way, if you Google Lonely Teddy, it'll come right up. It's the first thing.
Yep, he's 6 years old. He just turned six. They had a big pizza party for him out in Arizona. And when I say big, I'm lying because nobody showed up. He invited 23 classmates. Many of them said, by way of RSVP...
32 classmates.
Is it 32?
32, according to SkyNews.com.
All right, so he went 0 for 32.
That's disgusting.
Yes.
As a parent, you make your kid go.
You know that kid Teddy nobody likes? You're going to his birthday party. Because there's pizza and Sprite.
That's when you call another kid's mom and you go, listen, I know this kid may not have a lot of friends, but come on.
We got to come through for him. Absolutely. I agree. I'm with you all the way. So very, very disappointed kid. The picture was all over the internet yesterday and today. Today, the mom is saying she didn't expect this sort of attention. She didn't want or expect this kind of attention. She thought it'd be a local news story, but it's all over the globe right now. We got a bunch of callers who know exactly what this feels like, Wendy.
Oh, this is sad news.
Yes.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. My daughter works at a place where there was a birthday party, and this girl and her dad, I think she was somewhere between like 10 and 13 years old, waited for 30 kids to come. And I kept saying, but there was a mistake on the invitation. She said, except one kid came with 10 minutes left in the party, and they asked, what did your invitation say? There was no mistake. These kids did not show up.
That's crushing.
It's heartbreaking. It really is crushing. And I said the same thing, Wendy. These parents are responsible. Those aren't the age of kids that can get themselves to a party.
Right. You say, you know, I'm going to take you there, even if you don't like this kid. You know what? He's in your class. We're going to go for a little while. Just bring him a birthday present. And then I'll bet you kids that show up there end up having fun. How can you not?
Sure.
You know what? Even if it's hard to have no one say they're coming to your party, but at least don't let them stand there waiting for 30 kids to come and no one comes. I don't think I'd heard anything more heartbreaking.
We got a text yesterday. We talked about it, Linda, during our bonus hour for a little bit yesterday, and somebody sent a text saying, kids are irresponsible. If this kid, Teddy, handed out invitations at school, the kids probably lost them or forgot to bring them home. But they say in the story that a bunch of the parents RSVP'd, so they knew there was this party taking place.
You know what, Bill? If 5 kids didn't show up, maybe 10 kids out of 30 didn't show up, yeah, that's irresponsible. There is something more that's happening in these situations when not one of them shows up.
Right.
I don't know. I couldn't figure out what it is, but there's something more to the story. And I thought about it for days and days, and then when you brought this up again, it just brings up all of that heartache for that kid again.
Forever.
How do you go back to school?
I know.
What has your school life been before that?
That's what I want to know.
I think it's harder for us as parents, though, than it is for the kids. I think that they'll play kickball the next day at recess, and it'll all be water under
the
bridge.
Not on this, Ryan. I mean, this is 32 kids, and some said that they were coming. That's what bothers me the most. If you RSVP'd and said, yes, we'll be there for Teddy's little party, and then you don't show up.
That's even worse.
That's terrible.
Yeah. And it's different if a few show up. It's horrible. If no one shows up to your birthday party, that's forever. That's forever in your mind.
That's why I say no parties.
My 10-year-old birthday party.
No parties.
Wendy's putting a ban on all parties. Sorry, Linda.
Trust me. Schools do that now.
Yeah. I know. Well, thanks for calling, Linda. I'm so sorry your daughter had to see that. I bet she went in the bathroom and cried.
Well, she just couldn't believe it either. And by the way, they did not charge these people for the party.
Even Chuck E. Cheese didn't show up. He's like, I'm not showing up at this.
That's cold.
That's awful when he doesn't show up. All right. Well, thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda. Right. We appreciate it. Ryan, what were you saying? Like, I know you need to invite everyone in the class if you're sending invitations.
Some schools have that rule now. Right.
But we mailed ours, and, there were 6 or 7 kids.
My daughter's school, no, you can't bring treats for your birthday. You can't do anything like that. They don't do that anymore.
Because some kids are able to pull it off and some aren't. Is that why?
What it is with the treats, it's all about the allergies. and things like that. And apparently you can bring erasers, but it's not really something.
Those don't taste good.
No, the
allergies are what kill
you.
They don't. My daughters used to bring pollen to school on their birthday, and all the kids were like, this is a terrible thing to bring.
But being a parent with kids, I mean, every weekend they're getting invited to parties. I mean, like every weekend.
Sure.
It's another game. And they've got soccer games, and they've got cheerleading practice, and they've got this and that. And there are other birthdays competing with it too.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know what the situation here is. 32, that does seem like a lot, but sometimes it's just everyone, especially parents of a certain age, seem to be trucking kids around here and there on the weekends, and sometimes weekends are busier than weekdays.
Ryan, when we did the story yesterday, I thought to myself, maybe some other kid in the school was also having a birthday party that day, so kids chose that kid over this kid, Teddy. That's a possibility.
I mean, my daughter's got the same birthday. Her birthday is a day ahead of another girl in her class and their friends. And we've talked about just having a combined party, because otherwise you got to split. Either you split everyone or you split up the weekends. But, I mean, you want everyone to be there.
Yeah, but then you got, as a parent attending the double party, you got to buy two presents.
Well, we did that with two of my boys who had birthdays with two other boys in the same family every year. And it was great because we were good friends with them. Oh. So we had a double party for
that
both boys, one in August and one in December.
Oh.
For all, every did that every year.
Every year.
And they had the same friends, so nobody cared. They brought the two presents. They were cool with that. And you know,
I guess you're going to give them anyway.
Party. Yeah, that's true. They instead of going to one party, it's better. Two, they went to one. Yeah.
Just have a whole class party.
Yeah, I agree. That's the way to do it.
Or no party.
You just went from no party. Oh, all right, you switched back to the no party system. The no party party.
We don't have a party, but we do have something to give away, a $50 dinner certificate to White Pines Resort. It's located just 90 minutes west of Chicago.
Send it to Teddy. Wendy, send it to little Teddy.
He can't get out to Oregon, Illinois, but it's beautiful. White Pines, enjoy delicious homestyle cuisine, generous portions in the resort's restaurant, plus live entertainment in the dinner theater. And here's the cool thing. If you disconnect from your phone and reconnect to your loved ones, you'll get 5% off your meal when you put away your phone.
Nice.
You love that.
That's the best ever.
7 days a week from 5 to 9 p.m. Get all the details at whitepinesresort.net. In honor of Teddy's birthday, let's just do caller number 7, lucky number 7 at 312-981-7200. You'll walk away with a $50 dinner certificate to White Pines Resort. And then Friday, that's tomorrow.
That is tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow's going to be fun.
It should be fun, Wendy.
We are going to actually give away an overnight cabin stay in addition to a $50 dinner certificate.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. Big. You're going to be out of the studio tomorrow.
Yes, I'll be going to people's houses and picking up their gently used Christmas trees.
You're really going through with this.
Yeah, it's official. I'm anxious to see everybody's house.
Connie from Grants Park.
I hope they've been informed that I'm coming, because that could be very...
It's been prearranged.
It's awkward...
Are you also trick-or-treating at the same time?
Yes, I am.
Pre-trick-or-treating?
Yes, I am.
We got to line something up for when you arrive at their house.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to register in advance, so if you haven't done it, I'm very sorry. Bill will not be coming to your house.
I'm doing over 300 houses tomorrow, Wendy.
You should call Teddy and have Teddy come with you.
Come with me, right?
Because he has no friends. You can be his friend.
All right.
Connie from Grant Park just walked away with our White Pines Resort $50 dinner certificate. We're going to give away another one of those dinner certificates tomorrow and an overnight cabin stay. So that's all happening. If you want more information, go to whitepinesresort.net. Anything else we need to
add? That's all.
Brian Noonan is going to hold down the fort tomorrow with me.
Yeah. I'm going to try to call in at some point.
That's the point of it.
You want me to call in? I'll call in then.
If you go the whole show and don't call in, this did not work very well.
All right, you'll get some call-ins.
All right.
It'll be fun. You'll see. All right, well, I'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then he's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys tea.
Who is it, Bill?
He's Dean, 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 Dean.
That song sounds different this week.
How come, Dean?
I don't know. It sounds clearer.
Yeah. We remastered it in quadraphonic sound.
Are we on FM now?
Yes.
Yes, we
switched over to the FM. Does it sound better?
It does.
Yeah.
No static at all.
Static free.
Hey, Steely Dan reference.
Oh, that was beautiful.
FM.
Dean, Wendy and I discussed this a little bit yesterday during our bonus hour, but I want to bring you into it. There's a thief running around England who's a dead ringer for Ross Geller, a.k.a. Schwimmer. You saw his picture,
he
right?
He looks exactly like him.
Yeah.
And surveillance video snapped a picture of this guy, and everybody said, it's Ross from Friends. And then today, David Schwimmer released a little video that he tweeted out set it up in a grocery store, so it looked like he was also shoplifting from the store.
Yeah, he was stealing beer.
Yeah, and you see him, walk right by the camera, exactly emulating the picture that came out yesterday, and tweeted hashtag It's not me.
That's a great sense of humor. Yeah.
Very funny.
He's a good guy, that David Schwimmer.
Have you been watching him in Will and Grace? He plays a running character on Will and Grace. He's really good.
I saw one of them. Yeah, I've always enjoyed him, and I've always been a big fan of Will and Grace.
Yeah, yeah. Usually we get movie reviews from you, and we love that, but now we're adding Broadway musicals to the mix, huh?
That's because we are multifaceted entertainment.
Yes.
Machine.
Yes.
Here. It's a pretty big night in the theater district last night with one of the most classic musicals of all time on a nationwide tour with one of the most legendary names in Broadway starring in the production. And it's Hello, Dolly, mm-hmm. and it's Betty Buckley, who we know not only from 1776, for which she won a Tony Award, not only as Grisabella, the original Grisabella in Cats, lots of different Broadway productions. But here's where I play my Bill Left card.
Go ahead.
The mom on Eight is Enough.
Yes. The second
and
mom.
The second mom.
She is an evil woman in Preacher. She is amazing.
Yeah, she told me, I interviewed her yesterday, and she told me that that's what she likes best. She likes roles like that the best.
Oh.
Creepy, dark.
She's wicked.
Mysterious.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's super nice. Super, super
nice.
Is she? You'll get a little taste of it because I'm going to be filling in for John Williams tomorrow because apparently nobody's showing up for their shows tomorrow, as I understand.
Oh, really?
Well, Bill won't be here. I'll be here, Dean.
Oh, you'll be there.
Yeah. Wendy's coming in.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But I'll be filling in for John Williams, and among the things we're doing tomorrow is playing back my Betty Buckley interview, which I think you'll find interesting. Also tomorrow, you know the Elton Jim Toronto.
Of course.
Yes.
You've had him. He's co-hosted with you guys.
Yeah.
You know, he's following Elton John around. Elton John, who's in town.
That's called stalking.
He is really a stalker. I'd be super scared if I was Elton John. But at Madison Square Garden, there's a recording of this. Elton John says, I want to thank somebody who's been such a loyal fan, Jim from Chicago.
Wow.
And I want to dedicate whatever song it was that he played next. I want to dedicate it to Jim for being such a loyal fan.
Probably Tiny Dancer, because Jim is a Tiny Dancer.
Yes. A lot of people don't know. That's
and
what he
didn't
does
have,
in his spare time.
He didn't have a heart attack when that, because that would have just set me over. You could die right that moment. Elton John mentioned you.
He's going to be on tomorrow to talk about the Elton John show that's in town, two shows this weekend. But also to talk about how he can now die.
Yeah, I mean, how great is that?
I may kill him. Maybe I'll kill him.
Maybe.
That'll be great radio.
He's
I'll be listening.
Yeah, I've never killed anybody on a show before.
Not yet.
Is Hello, Dolly spectacular?
Hello, Dolly is spectacular.
Yeah?
It's like a nice, big, old-fashioned musical, classic story. Bette Midler brought the show back in a revival last year.
The original, of course, Dean, was Channing Tatum.
It was not. It was me, Billy.
It was his grandmother, Carol Channing
Tatum.
Channing
Tatum. Right. Right.
I just want to see how I like being in Magic Mike.
Well, hello, Magic Mike.
I always think about the person who just turned the station on right there.
Anybody under 80 years old will explain what those voices are later. Betty Buckley is just a master on stage. This whole cast is good. It's a great show. It's a fun show. It's so well produced, and it'll be at the Oriental Theater until November 17th. I'm highly recommending.
Beautiful.
It's a classic piece of American theater.
Sure, everyone of course. Should see. Yep. All right, we've got Dean Richards with us. We'll talk about what movies are coming out this weekend next. Stick around for that.
We are talking to Dean Richards, fresh back from Edinburgh, where he was doing some archery. I liked watching that, Dean.
Archery and falconry.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Falconry, where it wasn't really a falcon. I was hoping that it was. It was a buzzard, which actually creeped me out a little bit. But they have these trained birds that are, you know, like at one end of a court, and then they put a little bait in your hand, which is gross. I won't even describe what it is because it's disgusting. You're wearing like a leather glove, but you put this bait in your hand, and then they do like a little clicker, and the buzzard comes flying at you like it's going to eat your eyeballs out. And I have like a little bit of a bird phobia.
Yeah, but and they're big, man.
They're big. They are big, and they're when they land on your arm, they're heavy. So the first, nobody will ever see this footage, but we did it like three times where I'm like practically screaming when the bird lands on me. It's like, well, I can't put that on TV. So we did it like five times before I acted like a normal human being having a buzzard land on his arm.
Well, that's tough to be normal when that happens.
It's horrible.
And
horrible.
Then I ate haggis.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, for the several days I ate haggis. You know what? It's very tasty.
Is it really?
Is that the bait they used for the buzzard?
The bait, haggis is more disgusting than the bait they used for the buzzard.
Speaking of Scotland.
But it's good, though.
Gerard Butler has a movie coming out.
Oh, that's a good transition.
He's Scottish. Did you know that? You knew that.
That should go in the talk show host
Transition Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Yep. You're already in it, Bill.
Thank you.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
A new movie that's called Hunter Killer, in which he plays a submarine captain. We haven't had a good submarine thriller in a while.
Nope.
But we enjoy them. We like the drama that they provide. And this one does. It's a submarine that goes on a mission. Of course, things go wrong. It becomes involved in uncovering a coup to overthrow the president of Russia.
Mm.
Timeliness also with this. And, of course, you know, action ensues with this. It's pretty exciting. It's well photographed. Storyline gets off into some kind of improbable things, but you know, with movies like this, sometimes you have to let go of
give in a little bit.
I actually wound up kind of enjoying the movie. I gave it a Dean's List B.
Dean's List B for Hunter Killer. Melissa McCarthy in a serious role.
Yeah.
Can You Forgive Me?
Yeah. This is, everyone's been talking about this, that she could get nominated for an Oscar. I guess she could get nominated for an Oscar, but I think her performance is better than this movie as a whole. Are either of you familiar with the writer named Lee Israel?
I've not read her work, but I've heard of her.
You've heard of her.
Yeah.
I had neither heard
of
her,
I don't think,
nor read her books. But she's a real person. Was sort of a two-bit writer, most famous for her ability to forge other authors' names. So she would pen these, what looked to be personal letters from very famous authors, take them to collector shops and sell them to make money. She was a rather despicable person, not a very nice person. Life didn't treat her well, and she treated nobody very well. Very different for anything we've seen Melissa McCarthy in before. She's great in the movie. Maybe we're just so used to seeing her do comedy.
Sure.
See her spread her wings like this a little bit is refreshing, but I think she's really as good. The story lags; it's a little bit slow paced. I don't think that she may get nominated. I don't think the movie will.
And her character has wings, Dean?
It flies.
Oh.
That's how they caught the attention of law enforcement. She just pulls off one of these counterfeit scams and then steps out of the store and flies away.
That's crazy.
That's going to draw attention.
I want to see that movie.
Yeah, that's going to draw attention a person. I gave that one a Dean's List C+.
Oh, that's upsetting.
Yeah, my favorite movie of the... I'll tell you my favorite and least favorite movies of the week.
Start with favorite.
Is a movie called What They Had. I don't know why I'm so drawn to like really sad and depressing movies.
Yeah,
but this one is. If anyone has ever dealt with Alzheimer's in any way and the slow deterioration of a loved one, you're really going to appreciate this movie because it really is rather beautiful and rather sensitive and rather powerful. Blythe Danner plays the wife and mom of this Chicago family. This whole movie was shot in Chicago. And it's you see Chicago in a way on screen that really you haven't seen before. It's really a very blue-collar kind of Chicago look to this movie. But it's this family, and the wife and mom has Alzheimer's that is quickly progressing. And the basic storyline of this is how her husband, who's played by character actor Robert Forster, and her kids, Hilary Swank and Michael Shannon, how they all deal with this. And they all deal with it in a variety of ways, with anger and denial, some more forthright than others, but it's such an accurate depiction of how cruel this disease is. When you see the progression of the disease, by the mom and how it's affecting her husband of 50 years and her grown children. It tears your heart out. It's sweet and lovely at the same time because it's also a movie about unconditional love. I was tearing up like crazy during this movie, but also kind of left a nice feeling in my heart as well. I gave it a B+. It's called
What They Had.
What They Had.
That sounds good.
Got to see it. Right.
And as good as this movie is, is how stupid Johnny English Strikes Again is.
Rowan Atkinson, right?
I feel so bad giving him a bad review.
Oh, I love him.
Because I love him, and I loved Mr. Bean.
I'm a beanhead.
I am a beanhead, too.
Love him.
I am a beanhead, too. But this movie is just so lowest common denominator silly. If you've got an 8 to 10-year-old little boy in your house, they're going to find this movie hilarious because it's so obvious and corny and just, you know, silly like that, which, you know, sometimes movies like that can have some redeeming value.
Oh, yeah.
This one just doesn't. He's this super spy who retires. They call him back out of retirement. Because all the other spies and MI6 are missing, so they are forced to call him back out of retirement. And, of course, he bumbles and stumbles his way through the case that he has to deal with here. I wish he had never come out of retirement. I wish the character would go into retirement permanently on this. I gave it a Dean's List D. I'm very sad to say.
That's too bad. Rowan Atkinson's so funny. You
know, this franchise has run out of gas.
Sure. So the movie to see, of all the ones you mentioned, definitely What They Had.
If you wanna really be sad and depressed.
That's the one to go for. Well, that's perky. Thanks, Dean.
Go see that. And then right after that, go see Hello, Dolly. It'll pick you up.
So 1-2 punch.
Quite a bit.
Dean, thanks so much. We're looking forward to hearing you tomorrow as you fill in for John Williams.
See you tomorrow. What time is John on, by the way? I should have asked them that.
Starts at 7 a.m.
1 to 3. 3 p.m.
That's 7 a.m. I'll be there.
7 a.m. to 3 p.m. All right. Thanks, Dean.
It's a long show.
It is a long show.
Thank you, Dean.
Wow. That's Dean Richards, everybody. We'll take a quick break. We are going to the stream.
Yes, we are going to the stream. I want to wish my husband, Jimmy Mack, a happy anniversary today.
Oh, happy anniversary.
21 years of wedded bliss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You stumbled on the bliss for some reason.
Because there's bliss and there's a lot of stuff. I mean, that's part of me. I will tell you this, you know, it takes work to have a marriage. You've been together a very long time with Terry.
Yes.
We're 21 years, so we're getting there. And it didn't mean anything until we hit double digits. I felt like,
then
you know,
realize
married
it's real.
7 years, 8 years, 9 years. But when you hit 10, it's like, wow, we're going to do this. And then 20.
Well, happy anniversary to both of you.
Thank you.
That's exciting. And we'll see you at the Sizzler.
How'd you know we were going there?
It's your anniversary.
Well, thank you for making reservations for us.
It's all right. All right, we'll
coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow. It's all happening from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here at WGN Radio.